I'd like to invite you this evening over to the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 45. Numbers 14, verse 45. Numbers, chapter 14, verse 45 reads this way. It says, "Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomforted them, even unto Hormah." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together here in your name and then being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are here in our very midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight. We ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might set aside the cares of this world for a little while and, Lord, focus on you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would guide us to hear from you tonight. And Lord, that you would empower our lives by your grace, that we might be witnesses of the gift of free salvation that you've given to us and the change of life that you bring into all those who put their faith and trust in you. Bless your word, bless your people tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is a little bit long, but it's very important. And that is, the enemies of God can only prevail when the children of God fail to trust God. The enemies of God can only prevail when the children of God fail to trust God. And I want to look at three thoughts, but so there's applied biblical knowledge, and that's important because that is always better than biblical knowledge that is heard and rejected or denied. You know, we can hear the word, but the Bible says, James says something to us through the Holy Spirit about being doers of the word. And that's a whole different ball game, and that puts us into a whole different realm. It brings us really into the presence of God. So four quick thoughts. I'm going to try to do this within 20 minutes here very quickly, but I want you to listen to this. The rejection of God's promise, that's the first thought. The second thought is the great sin of unbelief. These are the things that allow the children of God to fail the Lord and to miss out on the promises that he wants for them. Faithfulness in the midst of unbelief, and that we find was Joshua and Caleb. And then the unchanging judgment of God, even to his own children. God, when God passes a judgment, that's it. You're not going to change it. But while we're on this side of eternity, and while there's yet time, we ought to petition and seek the Lord that we might not take what we've been given for granted. And you know, in America, we are blessed beyond all measure. I could say we're spoiled too, couldn't I? But we are really blessed. My daughter Julia said, the new American tradition, is that what she called it? Oh, she says, "I'm going to do the American thing. And that is, I'm going to complain about what I have." And that's, I thought, wow, you are learning something. And so my wife put that into practice today. Our chickens haven't been laying eggs. And so she said, "Did you buy eggs?" I said, "I bought you some eggs." And she opened them up. She goes, "White eggs?" So she put that right into practice. She was complaining about why she had eggs. Our chickens haven't laid eggs in days, right? And so she's got eggs. And I'm just picking on her because we all can do that, can't we? And don't worry. I think she threatened to have chicken soup here before too long. But if we're not careful, we complain about all the things that God has blessed us with, and we forget really what the world is like because we don't see it. We're not in it, and we're not partaking in those kind of countries that are just looking for their daily bread. And may we not take for granted what God has given to us. But let's look at the first thought, and I want to back you up here. I'm not going to do a lot of explaining. I am going to do some reading, and I want to bring you up to verse 1, and I want you to think about this. The rejection of God's promise. That means his will and his way. They rejected God's will for their lives. They rejected God's way for their lives. And the rejection of God's promise displays our unbelief in God's ability and in his faithfulness to us. Does that make sense? The rejection of God's promise displays our unbelief in God's ability and his faithfulness to us. Look at verse 1. Now, of course, these are when the spies had come back, gave the report, and they were all complaining about the giants in the land. And now notice what happens here in verse 1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. What? What? Really? Do you think they really meant that? They were so disappointed in the way they thought things should have turned out, and it didn't work out that way, that they would rather be back in bondage. Remember, the Lord heard their cries in Egypt? And so they're not even rational at this point. And anytime, listen, a child of God acts like this, it's irrational. And so he says, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, by the bottom of verse 2, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Their children were not a prey, but look where they're going. And they said to one another, Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. They're serious about this. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and he's already proven that he has, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all, and so here in the first 10 verses, we find that the rejection of God's promise displays our unbelief in God's ability and in his faithfulness to us. So they're saying, We can't overcome this. God has set us up to fall. No, listen, you remember I was telling you about how the eagle mom teaches her eaglets to fly? And listen, she puts them up on a high precipice and pushes them off, or she takes them for a flight and drops them off. And I promise you, those eaglets are not saying, this is what I wanted to do today. But eventually, what are they going to learn to do? They're going to learn to fly. But what do they feel like? They feel like they're plummeting to their death. Because if they've never been caught by their mother before, they don't know what mom's doing. And that's sometimes the way it is with us and God. We can sometimes feel, Lord, we don't know what you're doing, but that's where we trust the Lord. Is God not worthy? Listen, we have to think more of our God than we do of ourselves. Because he was before us. I think he did quite well when we were out of existence, before we ever came into existence. Don't you think? I think, listen, I'm so glad he didn't need my help in creating anything. And so God is worthy to be praised even when he doesn't make sense. And the only reason why we wouldn't do that is because the relationship's not right. And God wants it to be right, and God wants to nourish us so that we can enjoy that right kind of a relationship. Now, but notice the great sin of unbelief, and that always provokes our loving God. Our loving God, he loves us, but even against us. It will provoke him against us. So notice what happens in verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? Why? What does he say? For all the signs which I have showed among them. Listen, he's upset about this. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people, Moses is speaking to the Lord as one man, then the nations, plural, which have heard thy fame of thee, the fame of thee, will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord, listen, is long-suffering, and notice, of great mercy, listen to this, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty. So there are people that reject, they're not going to be cleared, but forgive them, listen to this, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and unto the third and fourth generation. Do you know that we can nip the sin of unbelief in our generation and hand down faith to the next, from faith to faith? It works that way too, from one generation to the next generation. He says, verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And he does have great mercy, but we shouldn't take advantage of it. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Now, listen, the Lord really knew all of this, but here's one thing we ought to take and note it down well. The people of God upset the Lord. They made him, they infuriated him because of their unbelief. Now, you have to understand this. God, who spoke everything into being, God who can do anything and everything, and nothing is impossible with God, those the children of people, from the world, that's one thing. But from God's people, Lord, you can't do that. Be careful, listen, that we don't take that standing in our own lives. Lord, God has never asked us to do anything in our own power, has he? God is wanting to bring you and me into his promises, to where we are amazed, to where we see God do for us what we could never do for ourselves, and that honors and glorifies the Lord, and that brings us to the place of worship when God is working in our life. The reason why it's important for God to work in our life is because that's what brings confidence and an established faith that causes the world to take note. They don't want to just hear what we have to say. They want to see the proof in the pudding in our lives. They want to see that a life can be changed. It's a sad shame for a child of God to say, you know, God can't redeem me from my sins. God can't give me the victory. Oh, then what do you have to tell the world? What do you have to tell the world? The world can save you from your addiction? No, he can't. He can't do it for you. And so God says, listen, I have brought you out of Egypt to bring you into my promises, that you might be a peculiar people, a holy people. We need to turn to the Lord and say, okay, God, I need you to fulfill that in my life. I want to see you, Lord. Take what little bit of faith you have and call upon the Lord and say, God, I want to meet with you. Lord, teach me to pray. I don't want to just spend time on my knees, Lord. I want to hear from you. I want it to be something dynamic that you intended it to be. I don't want to just be one that's caught up in, oh, Lord, I'm glad I'm not a sinner like this publican over here, this sinner over here. You remember that, the Pharisee over there? You know, and he beat his chest, forgive me, a sinner. And the Lord said he went away justified. So how are we going to go away justified? By believing and putting our faith or our trust in the Lord who holds us in his hands. He's not dropped us. So he says, verse 20, and the Lord, he says, said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because of all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. And have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Now that's powerful. So here's this sin of unbelief, and he says, okay, I'm merciful, I'm still blessing, I'm still going to work, but they're not going to see it. Wow. Listen, if we're not careful, We bring really a curse upon ourselves before the Lord to look at our life and tell God he can't do anything with it. We fail. We're looking to ourselves is what the problem is. God says, look to me that spoke everything into being. Look to me, look and live. Look and have the life of Christ. That's what he's imparted to us. Well, you don't understand how bad I am. You don't understand my failures. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you killed anybody? Have you killed another Christian like Paul did? Have you tried to destroy the Lord's church like Paul did? And Paul will tell you there is nothing in him but Christ. There's no good in him. Paul would tell you there's no good in him. You're in good company. You know what the problem is? There's only one problem. Our trust in God. That's it. Our trust, our faith, however you want to slice it, in God, in his promise. And we just need to take God at his word and say, Lord, I am ready for you to do your work. And here's where it's going to happen. Listen, he's going to do the work of causing us to die to self if we're going to follow him. And we have to start believing that everything that comes into our life is for the glory of God and for our good. And listen, we have to be reminded of that. I need the Lord for that every moment of every day, or I won't see it. I won't see it. But does that mean because I fail, I just, oops, well, forget about it? Or do I just repent and say, Lord, forgive me for taking that into my own hands. I'm repenting. Take me now, Lord. I'm going to see it now. When you start looking for it, when you start looking for God to work in your life, you're going to see it. When you start looking for God to work in your life on you, he's going to show it to you. Amen. Nobody else is going to see it, but you're going to have to deal with it or reject it. God will show it and you'll go, oh man, it is so natural for me to lean to my own understanding. It is so natural for me. Listen, tell me if I'm wrong. It is so natural for me to get upset when things don't go my way or the way I think they should go. Has that ever happened to you? I get disappointed. And if you're not careful, you don't even realize you're getting mad at God. Because God is trying to break that hard shell that the Spirit of God might be able to flow. That's the way it works. So this is the great sin of unbelief, but I want you to see faithfulness in the midst of unbelief. Don't look at the world. Don't look at the church today. It's just you and God. Is God not faithful to you personally? He is, right? So your service to him is not dependent upon the preacher, upon the Sunday school teacher, upon any other believer in the Lord. Your relationship with Christ is only dependent upon you and him. And is he not faithful to you? Allow him to guide you. Seek him to guide your life and to show you. All right, watch this. Ready? Verse 24. Faithfulness in the midst of unbelief. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him. And what is that spirit? Of trusting the Lord. Of not leaning to his own understanding. You don't, listen, he believed the word of God more than what he was seeing. When it comes to the word of God, it would be better for us to believe the word of God than what we are seeing. It will. Because listen, what we are seeing can dismay us and discourage us and cause us to depart from the Lord in walking by faith. So he said, he has another spirit with him and hath followed me, how? Verse 24, fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And now listen, the Lord has already pronounced the judgment. The people that rejected me, they're not coming in. They're not coming in. It's done. He's not clearing the guilty. And if the next generation doesn't cut that unbelief, it just keeps going on down the line. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 26, and saying unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, remember what they said? Would to God we would perish in this wilderness, that we would die in the wilderness. So they're going to get what they asked for. And he says, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, that's who's going to fall in the wilderness, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you to dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, but your little ones, which he said should be a prey. Then will I bring in, and they shall know that the land which ye have despised. They'll know what you despise, the promises of God. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years to bear your whoredoms. You know, he calls that prostituting yourself. When we depart from God, we've prostituted ourselves to another god, be it ourselves, the world, or the devil. And so they have departed. Listen, the book of Corinthians bears this out. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that this was written for our example. You know, God is a loving God, but I want you to know he's emphatically serious about the price he paid for your redemption and mine. And he is serious about his blessings being in our lives as his children. That those things are not taken for granted. We will give an account for what God has done. Listen, I want you to stand before the Lord and hear what he has promised. And this is what he's promised. If you follow him, you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you don't have to compare yourself to anybody but you and the Lord. I'm convinced as long as you are pressing toward the mark, you'll be welcomed in with a "well done." God is not, listen, don't let the defeats defeat you. The Lord says we fall down, but God will lift us back up. And as long as we repent and call upon the Lord, he's going to be working in our lives. So he says, your little ones, they're going to come in. The ones that you said would be a prey or would fall. Verse 32, but as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even, listen to this, 40 days, each day for a year. God has a purpose and a reason. Shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. It's a breach of promise. You know what that means? They broke the contract with God. There's a breach. We can break the contract with God. And God doesn't want us to do that. It displeases him. And so there's a breach of promise. Verse 35. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this, listen to what he says, evil congregation. They're his people. But you know, what is he calling unbelief? Evil. He's calling it evil. There's no reason for that. Trust me, I'll bring it to pass. Trust you for what? You tell me. That's it. For everything what? Everything he has promised to us. Did he promise to make us a holy people? Believe God for that. Not you. Don't believe yourself. You can't do it. You already know that. You've tried. I've tried. Did he say, I'll make you a peculiar people, a royal priesthood? Did he say, I'll make you the light of the world, the salt of the earth? All those things. Listen. You and yours truly will stand before God by ourselves before God for. You can have the faith to remove mountains, but if you don't have the love of God and the love for God, something greatly is missing. Something greatly is missing. And that doesn't mean that we have kumbaya moments and just allow anything and everything that calls itself a Christian and we yoke up with it. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. There's a lot of things out there that are professing to be Christian that are not Christ-like. All you have to do is, if they're compromising the Word of God, then do not yoke up with them. Be careful. But we will give an account, and it's important, and it's important to the Lord that we understand this. Verse 35, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. That, you know, look how the Lord sees it. They're against me. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, listen to this, watch what's happening here, turned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up the slander upon the land. So that was a slander. What is a slander? When somebody says something that's a lie about you. And that's what they were saying before the Lord. So now we see the unchanging judgment of God, even to his own children. There is no changing the unchanging judgment of God, even to his own children. There's no changing it. When God decrees something, mark it down. In this particular case, it was judgment against his own people. But wait a minute. Mark this down also. When God gives us promises, there's no changing that either. That's a good part, right? So verse 37, listen. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men which went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. So now they feel sorry. That was the decree. This is what's going to happen now. And that now the people are sorry. But see, they went beyond that point of no return now with the Lord's judgment. And they rose up early in the morning, verse 40, and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we, listen, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Sorry. Not now. Now you're doubly defying the Lord. The Lord said, don't do it. You're done. All right? He has the right to do that with them, but they can't see it. So, we're going to go, they say. We have sinned. Verse 41. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? Do you see? He gave the command of what's going to happen. Do you see the stubborn heart of mankind? If it wasn't for the grace of God, the most selfish person. I am the most selfish person. I could put it on too. I could put it on, you know, yes, Mrs. Cleaver, I can play Beaver too, or Wally or whatever. But they were scoundrels just with their other friends. They still followed the Haskell there, Eddie Haskell. We're rascals without the grace of God. That's what we are. And as soon as we do that, then we see, Lord, we need you in a powerful way. Okay, let me go on. Ready? He says, verse 42, go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. Do you see what the Lord is telling them now? This is my direction for you now. Don't do it. Where's their heart? They're still so full of self. They're still so full of self. We're going to do it anyway. Moses is telling them, God said, don't do it. We're going to go do it anyway. We're going to be obedient now. No, you're being disobedient. You see how they can't get it? And you know, if we're not careful, we don't get it either. You know what? That's it, exactly. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Every day that I don't follow my way. And that'll reveal how selfish we are. This is what I think. Did God ask us to think? Or did he ask us to follow him? It's easier. It's easier. If we just park our mind in neutral and let God guide us, when he's leading, we won't make a mistake. If we'll just listen to what God is saying to his people, we'll do right by the Lord. So he said, you're not going to prosper. You're in trouble. Let me read verse 43 here. And for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. Did you see what the Lord said there? You've turned away. Listen, they're saying, we're going to obey God now. Moses is telling them, you're turning away from God. Again, you're turning away. But they presumed to go. Presumption will always get us in trouble when it comes to God. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant, listen to this, of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. They went by themselves. No Ark of the Covenant, no presence of God. Moses is not there. You don't have the leadership of God. That's the way God worked it, right? Verse 45, then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in the hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. The enemies of God can only prevail when the children of God fail to trust God. May you and I see how much we need the Lord to guide us in His way, not ours. And that we might be obedient to listen. Here's all we have to be obedient for. To present ourselves before the Lord to guide us and show us the way. He's not asked us to do our own thing. He says, look to my word. Look to me. Look and live. And I'll show you the way of life and peace, fulfillment, contentment, joy. Oh my goodness, why would we ever want to even gamble with that? Do you know how to bring yourself into those things? I don't. I need the Lord, don't we? Let's pray. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, may you open up our hearts and minds to see the work that you are wanting to do in our lives, the direction you're wanting to guide us into in our own personal lives. Lord, may we look to your word, and then may we see our lives as you see it, that we might see how much we need you and call upon you to guide us every day. And Lord, that we would not look to our strength, but trust that you will fulfill what you've promised. May we truly abide in Christ. And Lord, we need you to even show us how to do that and to show us how to pray, that we might do it with power, Lord, that would compel us and draw us to you in a closer way. Bless again, Lord, us, your people, to follow your word and to follow you, Lord. Bless as we break off for prayer, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.